kind of funny, all throughout the day, I just had a feeling, you know, like maybe this was going to come up. Well, yeah, it was pizza. I did have pizza for lunch. Hey, man, we good? Good? Okay. But no, I had a feeling kind of throughout the day that I was like, you know, I've been working on a message, and I was just to the kind of the final points of it, you know what I mean? And I was like, well, I got to find a way to wind this up. And I got to the end of the day, and I was like, yeah, I got to do this. I finished it probably maybe 4 o'clock this afternoon. So pray for me. Yeah, amen. Lord, help me. I will say when it comes to Texas, I wasn't able to say too much about it, but I'll say that I was able to meet a lot of people up there that I hadn't met, or down there that I hadn't met before. Did get to meet the Nelson family, which while we're at it, one of the Nelson sisters, her husband's father had a heart attack a couple days ago. I was wondering why we hadn't heard from him, because they were talking about coming up here for our revival. He'd had a heart attack, and I hadn't heard back from him. I heard from him this afternoon. He's had a heart attack, and his dad's really not doing that well, so they're not really sure what's going on. So if you can, pray for Mr. Gambrell. But I'm going to go from Exodus 5 tonight. It's going to be a familiar passage. We're going to Exodus 5, starting at verse 16. Actually, give me a second. I might mess myself up already, guys. I apologize, guys. Give me just a second. I'm sorry, 15, I apologize. Exodus 15, yes, sir. Yep. Yeah, it's funny, I handwrote everything down. I was like, well, because I know my handwriting, I know how it all works, I'm going to try to type it up. Well, when I go to rewrite it, I screwed it up, but my bad. That's how it works, typo, autocorrect, no. Before we get started, I'm going to pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be up here. Amen. Lord, I'm humbled to be up here. I don't take it lightly, Lord. I just ask that you calm my nerves, you calm my heart. Yeah. You know, Lord, I ask that while we're up here, I know what's going on in my heart, but you know, there's other things between the mind and the heart, Lord. The constantly at battle, Lord. I just ask that you calm my mind and take over my heart while I'm up here, Lord, and just give me the message that you need me to preach tonight, Lord, and just. Help me to help just one person tonight, if nothing else, Lord. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So chapter 15, starting at 1, then Moses sang unto the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and he spake and sang, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. But the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. And Father's God, I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea, and chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them, and they sank in the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. We go through each day, I'd say every hour, and the enemy is watching, the enemy's listening. And, you know, I always see, when we look at things, one of the verses I always go back to is when we're looking at, you know, the walk of the Spirit versus the lust of the flesh. You know, there's now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. We know this one. We've all heard this one. And then the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. You see two different roads there. You know, Moses is giving glory to God here because he's given the opportunities. He's shown, the way that I've seen it, is that he has shown Moses two ways to go here. There's that two-way street. You know, when we talk about the destination, when we talk about where we're supposed to be in our life and our movement, I always go back to where I used to be, not to glorify it, not to enjoy it, not to give any kind of honor to it. I go to it just to remind myself of how little I am, how dumb I was, and how stupid I can be, past, present, future. one of the things that I did when I was really looking at some of this was I went back to some of the first things I learned as a teen when I was really starting to get myself together, or at least I thought I was. And one of the first things that I was really proud of in my life was learning how to drive. Yeah, okay, call goofy. I just got a bunch of looks from these teens over here, but I'm calling you out. All right. Hey. Oh, well, let's not go. We'll talk about that in a minute. You can't back up anymore. And if you are, I'm getting out. So we look at this, and you see that when you start this path, when you start the journey, especially as a teen, there's things that scare you when you start driving, right? One of my biggest fears was that oncoming traffic, right? Because I'd never driven before, and I never had to worry about being in control of a machine that big, you know? And so I have all this stuff coming at me. I'm like, well, I need to, like, get away from it. But you got to stay in your lane. You're going to hit something else, right? So what I want to try to send home is make sure you're staying your course, that you're staying in your lane. When you're doing this, one of the things that you're driving, when you're driving, one of the first things that I was always told is before we ever got behind the wheel, we had to know the vehicle. You had to know the vehicle. In order to know the vehicle, you got to have a manual. You got to have the manual that's going to teach you everything about that vehicle. So that whatever's going on, whatever comes at you, whatever detour you may run into, whatever issue you have behind the wheel, whatever dumb thing anybody else might do, you know how to handle it. How about a manual?
Amen.
Now, if this is the manual, what's the vehicle? Right? Got to know your vehicle. Well, how are you going to drive? How are you going to follow your destination? How are you going to move forward in your life if you don't know about your vehicle? Amen. How many people read from your manual every day to learn about your vehicle?
Yeah.
Just a thought. Just a thought. Now, once you know about your vehicle, or you think you know about your vehicle, because as it goes on, you never learn everything about your vehicle. Sometimes the best way to learn something is when you feel like there's something wrong with it. Maybe it's just the way you're treating it. That vehicle's going to change based on the way you treat it. Okay? If you take care of it, if you trust it, if you love it, if you give it its maintenance the way it needs to be, if you pay attention to it, it'll bless you. It'll get you where you need to go, even if you might not think it's going to do it. Okay? That same vehicle, when you're going down the road with some of you guys, 75, 80, 90 miles an hour, 100 plus, I don't know. I don't know what you're doing. I know what he does.
Amen.
You know, but you have different things that are going to come your way. For example, say you're driving down the highway, right? There's cops on the right side. Somebody pulled over. Rule is now we move over, right? Okay. You're supposed to slow down and move over. That whole lane's filled up. What are you going to do? You might get a little nervous if you're a younger driver, right? As time goes on, you learn about handling that. Here's another one. You got that oncoming traffic coming on, okay? Which, by the way, if you're headed this way, which is the path God has for you, what's this? That's the opposition, right? Going away from God. Sound familiar? Okay, why in the world would you ever want to veer over there? Okay, because if you get over there, what's going to happen to you? You're going to wreck.
Amen.
You're going to wreck. You're going to destroy your vehicle. You're probably going to hurt yourself, and you're going to hurt whoever you just ran into. Okay, so whatever path they might be on, you might have just messed that up too. Now, I'm using the idea of a vehicle. But think about it this way. There are people, I'm sure, throughout here that we're all talking to, that we're all trying to lead towards Christ, that we're all trying to understand, that we're all trying to really give them the truth. Okay? We can sit and either cater to them and kind of give them their way. No, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, we don't want to ruffle any feathers, so we're just kind of going to, you know, we're going to try to work this out. Or you stay your course. Because don't get me wrong, I have nothing against ever trying to help anybody else. I have nothing against ever trying to show somebody the truth. But if that person is going to take you, stop you in your tracks from where you're supposed to go, you've got to let them go. There's been so many times, and I've apologized to God so many times for it, because I've tried so hard to, when different friends, and different family members to the Lord, that I've let myself go, not realizing it. Amen. I let myself go, try to be with them, spend time with them, thinking, well, you know, I need to show them that I love them. Yeah. You know, so I'm going to go spend time with them. I need to be around them. You know, a lot of people, for some reason, well, we all know the reason, but for some reason, everybody wants to have a family function on a Sunday afternoon. Right? I've seen a lot of nods now. Everybody wants to have a family function on a Sunday afternoon. Well, we don't want to hurt their feelings. We got to go, right? Mm-mm. No. I used to do it. And I tell you, if it's an emergency, if something's going on a Sunday, if I'm not here on a Sunday, I'm either out of town or it's an emergency because I'm done. I'm done. I got to stay my course. You know, again, we go back to the obstacles. You know, we all have obstacles that we face. And the same method of, you know, to use the same concept we're talking about driving, there's an accident, there's a detour, whatever the case. That doesn't mean your trip is over. Okay, it doesn't mean your trip is over. All that means you got a little, it's going to take you a little bit more time. You might have to back up a little bit. You might have to think things through a little bit more. Find another route. Trust the vehicle you're in and let it take you. Because I'll tell you, I'm looking through here, and I know different stories that people have been through, you know, and everybody's had their detour, that's for sure. You know, I sit here and look at my wife, who the Lord saved 3 times for me. Saved his life, saved her life. Luke, downstairs, isn't supposed to exist. Now, that's a good detour. I'll give you that. I'll call that fast tracking, all right? Because I'll tell you, there's nothing that inspires me more than that little boy right now. Okay, but I look at the 2 kidney transplants that my wife had, and then after Luke was born, she hemorrhaged. And I tell you, she was as white as Brother Ken's shirt. And I was sitting right there in the middle of that room, praying, begging for whatever I could do to give me strength to get me through this, because I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought I was going to raise this kid on my own. I wasn't sure. And I thought it was over. Because if that was going to be it, I knew that I wasn't going to be capable to do this on my own. I had to trust the Lord on this one. Amen. Okay? Yeah. I had to give it up. And I tell you, I'm sitting there holding this brand new baby. We're talking a couple hours old. And they're taking my wife into an operating room where they got to figure out the best way to handle this situation so she can get her blood back. And I'll tell you, if it wasn't for Jesse staying the course, for me, I probably would have lost it right then and there. So that takes me to your next thing. Who are you riding with? Who are you riding with? Do you have a dark passenger? Because we all have a dark passenger. That's that crap that nobody knows about but you and God. That dark passenger will take you the wrong way. That dark passenger will lead you into that road, will take you into that oncoming traffic. Or it might make you bust a U-ey going the wrong direction, you know? Or do you have people like we have in this church? Well, I'm more than thankful for. I know without a doubt, I might not be able to talk to everybody every day, and I'm just as bad with names as anybody else in here, but I love every last one of you. And I know that if something happened, if something went down, I could call anybody in here. Those are the passengers I want. And I'll tell you, there are some people that have those family functions on Sundays that I'm not sure I could call. And I mean that with all my heart. I really wonder about it. I really wonder. So there's so many different ways you could go with this that it's just, who's with you is one of the important things when it comes to this ride. Whose company do you keep? That vehicle, are you trusting it? One thing that I did learn about the manual, we're talking about this manual, is that just like any other vehicle, the vehicle doesn't age, the manual doesn't age. You know, a car or vehicle, a regular vehicle, eventually falls apart. You have to get a new one or you give it to Pastor, like we said. You know. The good news about this one is that it doesn't falter, it doesn't change, and the language stays the same. You know, in the same way that Jesus does not change, or never changed, the same way that God hasn't changed, the manual's language shouldn't change. And I'm telling you now, if you got a manual that doesn't read the way that God portrayed it, get a new manual. Because we were talking about some of that before. I was having a conversation actually this afternoon with my wife about some of that. We were talking about the difference in understanding and baptism, difference in understanding of just different things that are in this book that different churches do not understand because they haven't read it word for word. Amen. You know, it's easy to when you're reading through, skimming through, okay, you got the gist of what's going on. You pretty much know how it goes, or you think you do, but you miss something. And you're either too proud to admit that you missed something, or you've read it once and you feel like that's enough and you don't need to read it anymore. Okay? The manual doesn't change. It's not going to change on you. I think about when we were younger, one of the things that I hated to do was read. I couldn't stand reading, to be honest. I read because I had to in school, right? But other than that, I either had some sort of audio like playing for me, or I watched a movie, which don't ever learn from a movie because it'll make you an idiot. You know, I always say if you're going to watch a movie, when you're done with it, put it in what you call the ID10T files. Anybody heard of that? The ID10T file? If you don't know what that is, write it down on a piece of paper, everything capital, ID10T. Suppose idiot. Put it in your ID10T file, throw it away. But you don't want to throw your manual away. Because regardless of where you're going to go, regardless of where it wants you to go, regardless of what it says, whether you agree with it or not, it's right.
Yeah.
It's right.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think of paying attention. That was one of the points that I wanted to put in here, paying attention. Yeah, exactly. See? Kick him out, heathen. No, you talk about paying attention. You know, same way when it comes to your path. Where are you going? Have you planned it out? Who's riding with you? What's in the way? What else do you think you need to pay attention for? Well, signs are a good one, okay? But Exodus, Jews, I see where you're going. Good point. But no, what I was going to go with is, who else do you think you can pick up? Who do you want to take on that ride? You're going, and I'm not condoning picking up a strange hitchhiker that looks like he's going to kill you. I'm not saying go do that, okay? But what I'm saying is, as you go on, you're going to come across people that are hungry for the word, and you just don't know it.
That's right.
You don't know it. And they're not going to show you, because in the same way, they either don't know anything about it or they're too proud to tell you. Mm-hmm. You know? I've been guilty before of going into a different place, and probably based on my mood at the time, because sometimes, you know, just like anybody else, we get cranky. Don't think about it. By the time I leave, I actually feel really bad because I forgot to talk to somebody. And there's been times where you're given opportunities. You know, we'll pray each morning, put somebody in my path. Let me talk to them. You know, let me at least give a testimony. Let me tell them something. You know, but he doesn't. You don't do anything with it. I'm guilty of it. We've all been guilty of it somewhere, right? So rather than just asking for somebody, why don't you just go find them? Let's just go find them. And like I said, I know I'm guilty of it too. I know sometimes we just get caught up in the world and the day-to-day and all that, and we think that whatever we got set in our mind going this direction, which may or may not be the right direction, you need to figure that out for yourself, is more important than the people that you're passing by as you go. You know, I looked at this, I thought about this camp, or this VBS that we just had, and the opportunity to ride the bus with Brother Dave back there, and I tell you, it was an eye-opener. We knew, at least, you know, I knew at the time that you have these different kids that have come through, and they don't know much at all, if anything, about Jesus Christ, about what he's done, about the Bible as a whole, and all some of them know is pride and fighting and selling Lord knows what and just getting into the world a little bit more. You know, now I'm not saying we had a bunch of bad kids, but you could tell where they came from.
That's right.
based on their talk, based on their walk, based on their actions towards each other. I tell you, it was unreal. And it's wild to say, you know, yeah, I knew it. But when you see it for yourself, and you're sitting there, and you're supposed to be the example, you're supposed to be the one to go out and correct it, you almost need to get the weight off your butt to go stop it. Because you're so caught up in it, you can't believe what you're seeing. You don't see it. Like, you know it, but you don't see it. Well, there's your passenger right there. We're all headed towards a destination that we all know is going to be unbelievable. We're headed in the way that God wants us to go. But who are we going to take with us? You know, that number about 400 kids over 2 years, that's awesome. That's awesome. Now, I agree with you. That would be terrifying if they all showed up at the same time. You know, I was worried about 15 kids on this bus not killing each other. So I was like, 400, you know, we have to take all of us in. Everybody that's here, we need all of you. But maybe that's exactly the point. You know, if it turned out that all of us got up and made it a point to jump up, to step up for these kids, to pick them up, to allow them to be our passengers on this journey, if all of us did that, maybe we'd have that 400, maybe we'd have 500, 600, 700. Maybe we'd have to do the whole thing in a gym or outside because we're running out of room. So it's about that passenger. So I wanted to end up basically with thinking about your destination and being able to just enjoy the ride. We do get caught up in the negative side of all of it and leaving people behind and being scared of the next step and moving forward and not knowing what's going on. So some of the questions I have was, do you know your destination? Do you know the right way? Do you have a passenger with you that's not supposed to be with you, whether it be an actual person or whether it be an act? Is it with you? Because if it is, it's going to detour you. It will stop you somehow. That if you have a dark passenger in there somewhere, that dark passenger is suicidal. If that person wants to go, they're going to take you with them. Something to think about. Are you familiar enough with your vehicle? Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, right? He's the way, the way, the truth, the life. I like that, the way. The way. See what I'm doing here? It's nice. The way. Okay? No, yeah. Yeah, no, because you're going this way when all your life, well, at least most of us, I'm thankful for some of the kids that never went the opposite direction. I can tell you that, and you guys wear it, but I pray for you, too, that you never see that way. But no, for some of us to have gone that direction and come back, thank God for that. Let's see. Have you taken the time to learn everything you need to know about your vehicle, your manual, your path, and everything you might encounter on the way? Here's a newsflash. You're never going to learn it all. You'll never learn it all. No matter what road you're on, no matter which way you're headed, no matter what you think you know, there's going to be something. It's going to show you something that you've never seen, that you never thought possible, that you never expected. We never expected to have a kid. I never expected to have the fear of losing my wife either. I'm sure a pastor never expected to have a church like this one when he was younger. With Josh, I don't think he was expecting to be up here leading singing. I don't know if you call it leading singing, did you call it? No, I love them both. If I pick on you, it means I love you, right? The trip isn't always quick and easy. Sometimes it can be long and hard on you. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. That's kind of something I wanted to hit on a little bit. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. We go through these different obstacles, whether they be good or bad, whether they be a distraction to you or not, whether they make you mad, whether they push you back in the flesh for just a minute or not. The fruit of the Spirit is long-bearing, is long-suffering. So we might slip back. We might make a mistake. Even standing behind this pulpit, I pray every time I come up here, every time I know that I might even be coming up here, that I don't make a mistake. And if I do, I pray that there's somebody in here that will correct me. Okay? Because I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to be steering anybody wrong. Okay? But it's long-suffering. We're all on this journey together, right? Consider it's like a really big bus, right? It's a cool bus to be on, man. I like this bus. I tell you, we took that trip to New York for, Youth Ablaze, thank you. Wow, drawing a blank. And that was cool. At first, I wasn't sure. I'm like, man, you're going to put me on a bus with a bunch of teens. I'm going to be all loud and obnoxious. It got me sitting next to Earl. Like, why are you going to do that to me? You know, long-suffering, right? No, let me tell you what. By the time we came back, I saw these guys that was silent on the back end of the bus towards the end of the trip. I was like, well, what in the world's going on? Are they asleep? I look back, and they're all reading from their manual.
Amen.
Amen. Man. I don't know, that does something for me.
Yeah!
It does something for me. I love it. Especially this guy. Everybody picks on Earl, all right? And like I said, I pick on you because I love you, right? But no, seriously, we need more like him.
Yep.
We need more like him. This whole row here, we need more like him.
Amen.
I tell you, if we could double this up, triple this up, have 8 or 12 of these guys, and they all go out into the public, and they pray for their schools, they pray for their church, they go out and pray for people that are lost, whether they insult them, whether they pick on them or not, man, that does something.
Amen.
There are people that are older than these guys, myself included, that can learn a thing or two. Because we all screw up. We all make mistakes. Long-suffering.
Yeah.
Long story short, I just wanted to end it with, you know, if you're walking in the Spirit, it's going to take you to your final destination. If you're following the flesh, you're going the wrong way. Straight up, that's where I'm at here. When I read Exodus at the beginning here, when we're talking about the song of Moses, he's given glory to the Lord because he showed him something. You know, we go through every day, and whether we realize it or not, the Lord shows you something every day.
Amen.
He shows you something every day, and you might not acknowledge it, you might not think it through, you might not wonder, you know, was that meant to be, you know, was that where it's supposed to go? Whether it's good or bad, the Lord shows you something. Whether you think it's good or bad, he shows you something. You know, regardless of the detour, regardless of the collision course you might be on, regardless of what's coming your way, we have to thank him for the journey.
Amen.
You've got to thank him for the journey, and if you haven't, maybe you should. Because regardless of whether you appreciate it or not, it'll teach you something.
Amen.
So, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to come up here and just preach your word, Lord. I just thank you. Lord, I know my nerves were here, and I thank you for calming my heart a little bit, Lord, and just allow me to get some of this message out. And I apologize for my stumbles, Lord. If I did say anything wrong, Lord, I ask that you just take care of that, Lord, just to fix it for me, have somebody show me, Lord, and have everyone forgive me for it, Lord. I just ask that even if I just touch one person tonight, Lord, as far as, you know, knowing and reminding themselves that they got to stay the course, Lord, just that was all worth it. It was all worth it, Lord. I just thank you for the opportunity to be here. I'm definitely humbled by it, Lord. I just ask that you continue to bless me. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.